Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are so thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ is the means by which you can receive that eternal life and call you Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for what you have done for us, the way that you have helped us through the study, the way, Lord, that you have kept your hand upon us. Lord, we pray and we ask from you to just keep us, Lord. Keep each one of the listeners into your love and mercy. Help us, Lord, to just be in a state where you and your life, Lord, is just reflected in our lives. Not in the form that man is pleased, but the form that you want to be pleased. Be with us, Lord, as we continue our study on marriage and divorce. Help us, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are on tape number 3, and I have really enjoyed the study. I hope I will be able to finish the doctrine of marriage and divorce with about 7 cassette tapes. That will give us probably about 10 hours of study. But before we continue our study on marriage and divorce with this tape number 3, I'd like for us to open our Bibles into the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter. After the Pharisees ask our Lord, starting from the first verse, we see that on the 10th verse, when the disciples heard what the Pharisees have to say and what our Lord answered, they make a statement. His disciples say unto him, If the case of the man be so, with his wife, it's no good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it's given. Here, after the disciples heard the doctrine of marriage and divorce from our Lord, they felt that it's no good for a man to marry. Why? The responsibility is great. You can't just run in and out of a marriage. There's some kind of a stable way that we have to do things, and we have to follow the leading of the Lord. Having this in mind, I'd like to say that I know probably when we get to the real down questions and answers of marriage and divorce, some people might think that it's too hard. But we don't measure how hard it is or how light it is with our standard. We measure it by the fulfillment of the Word of God. Looking back in our study, we have seen that we picked up Matthew 5. We went to the Old Testament. And in Matthew 5, the 31st verse, we read that it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. And this question, who said it, led us back to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. And we have seen that procedure that after the man puts away his wife, then he gives her a bill of divorcement. When he puts the bill of divorcement in her hand, then she is free. Or we should say, instead of free, she may go and get married. But after she gets married with a second husband, there's a pollution takes place, and she cannot return to the first one. If you open your Bible and you focus or stay with the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, 31 and 32, we're going to see that there are certain things happen in these two verses. On the 31st verse, our Lord makes two statements here. If a man puts away his wife, he has to do something, write the bill of divorcement. But remember, he said, it has been said. But when in the 32nd verse, he started discussing the marriage and divorce, he didn't mention the second activity at all. With other words, the writing of the bill of divorcement was not mentioned by our Lord. Why? Look at the 32nd verse. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. But he didn't say, whosoever put away his wife and give her a bill of divorcement. No. Because when Christ came, being born by a virgin, he stood and he says, now I'm restoring back to the original beginning what Satan has destroyed. And if you see here our Lord very precisely, he doesn't even mention divorcement at all. But he compares what Moses have done on the 31st verse when he says, that whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But when he comes what he's going to say, he mentioned that put away his wife, and it's the same Greek word, the word apoleo, but he never mentioned the word divorcement, which is apostasium. I'm wondering why. Because our Lord did not believe in divorcement. Now this put away word comes from the Greek word apoleo. The verb leo means to loosen. Apoleo, to make something loose. I have indicated that I don't want to make this study a scholarly study. I don't want to make it an intellectual study. I'm addressing this to the layman, to the common man and common women that the gospel was directed to. But here, there's a case that I like to refer to a couple of places. Now, the verb leo, that's for put away, apoleo, which means to loosen, it has been used also when you unyoke a horse. You remove the yoke from the horse. And to identify that this is the right meaning, it's not because we picked up a dictionary and we say, now this dictionary said so and this one doesn't say so. In the first tape we said, unless we have references on literature that identifies the meaning of a word, we cannot just pick up the meaning of any kind of a theologian and say that's what it means. And that word, the put away, who means to loosen, the wife, also, if you want to define it, in addition to dictionaries, if you go to the classical literature, the old literature of Xenophon 6.2, 6.37, I'm giving you the citation, you'll find the meaning that I'm giving. And also, if you go to the Odyssey, Homer wrote the Odyssey, 21.36, you'll find that this word was used when it's identified to loosen something. But the second word of a divorcement here comes from the word apostasion. Now, that word apostasion, it was used by courts, by the legal people. And it's the court of judgment, or a court action against a free person from having been forsaken by the guardian. That's kind of a strange case, to take a free person, the person who has been loosened by the guardian, and judge them because they are loose. We don't have any laws like that. I have been lately studying some very interesting developments in Spain, that for the first time in the history of Spain, in 1981, the Parliament of Spain approved divorcement. Before that, divorcement was illegal. But this kind of a case, that divorcement, which is apostasy, means that there's a judgment. The judgment is pronounced against that person now that leaves, that's without a guardian. And to identify the word also with the literature, so you don't say that it would just pick up a word, you'll find the meaning on Demosthenes, 790.2.940.15. I'm referring to these citations not to make it a scholarly work, but so nobody will say, where did you pick up that meaning? And you'll find also in the Greek encyclopedia and the dictionary of Eleftherodaki and all these classical dictionaries. And also at Aristotle's, or the fragment, you'll find our 387, comma, and 388, you'll find the meaning of that word. The difference here on Moses, when a divorcement was given to a person, the person was receiving certain freedoms that can exercise. Like the first step was on the 31st verse, remember, I'm in Matthew 5, the 31st verse, that a person can put away his wife and then give her the bill of divorcement. The writing of divorcement has to be given in her hand. But the putting away is loosen her from him. But in order for her to be loosened completely, there was a judgment pronounced against the freedom that was given to her. And that was the divorcement. And by taking the second action, like Moses did, permitted, like in Deuteronomy 24, for a woman that can go out and may go and get married. Without the divorcement, just by putting away, there was no way for her to go out and get married. We can parallel this with today, because the put away doctrine, of course we know that we live in a time when a woman can sue a man, and at this time a man had to issue the divorcement and not a woman, because it was illegal for a woman to have any rights or give any kind of a court action against a man. But our Lord here makes a definite distinction. He says, it's one thing to loosen yourself from a woman, and it's another thing to give a divorcement. Now, the difference between the two are the first to put away is loosen the responsibility of the man to the woman, and the second pronounce the legal action against the woman of being forsaken by the guardian. But our Lord never sanctioned the second part. And the second part would have given the right to a woman to go ahead and marry with another man. So this, okay, the woman doesn't have it in the New Testament. What it means, you cannot sue your husband for divorce, because the husband has the right of separation and divorcement. And some people think that to divorce somebody is just go to court because the court gives me the right. But this does not mean that God gives you the right to do so. And now we see for the first time that the disagreement between our Lord and Moses, not because Moses didn't obey the word of God, not at all. Moses obeyed the word of God, but we should say the disagreement between what our Lord was saying and the conditions that Moses put the divorcement into effect. And our Lord in the 32nd verse, he says, but I say unto you, and very explicitly we discussed that, he disagreed, he said, with other words he was saying, what has been said is not what I'm saying. That whosoever shall put away his wife, now look what he's saying on the 32nd verse, that whosoever shall put away his wife, now here's a man puts away his wife and gives one reason, saving the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her, that is divorced, commit adultery. Now the first question is, now here we come to the disagreement of the doctrine of marriage and divorce among the people in the message. We went back to the Old Testament, we defined certain things, but now we're coming to the disagreement. Some people think that fornication and adultery is the same thing. I have news for you, my friend. It is not. They have picked up a quote, which I will be getting later on, and that quote was found in the tape, Revelation chapter 4, where it says, all of it's the same, it's uncleanness. Let me tell you, sin is one general term, but it's a different penalty for killing than for stealing and for lying. sin has different manifestations. If you say all of it is sin, I say yes. But if you say is stealing the same thing like killing somebody, I'll say no. And fornication and adultery, they are two different things. Fornication is an act of illicit sexual intercourse on the part of an unmarried person with a person of the opposite sex, whether married or unmarried. I'm just giving you the legal terms of what's fornication, and you'll find the same definition in Webster, Century Dictionary Encyclopedia, Oxford Dictionary, and you will find the same definition on the Greek Encyclopedia. Through the literature, that definition stands. And adultery is the violation of the marriage bed or a sexual intercourse of a married person with any other than the lawful spouse. The difference between the two, it's the same act, but one is committed by a single person, the other one is committed by a married person. Now, our Lord here in Matthew 5:32, he's saying he's giving one reason, and that is the cause of fornication. Now, this kind of a thing in the Greek, which is parektos logopornias, except the cause of fornication, it's one only reason that a man can put away his wife. And he very definitely say here that if you do that, you causeth her to commit adultery. How? We'll find that, because there are two parts here. And what I will do after I will define fornication and clear this part up, then when I will get to Matthew 19 and some other portions of the scriptures, we can take what is the responsibility of a man after he puts away his wife for fornication. It's true that some of the people in the message, they say it's the same. And if you make it the same, then that means that if a single woman commits an act, a sexual act, which is fornication, and then marries, and the man doesn't know anything about it, when he finds out, can put her away. But the way that some of the people of the cults of this message try to interpret that is that it applies also fornication and adultery, the same thing. But if it's the same thing, that means if a married woman commit a sexual act with another man, that is ground of divorcement and remarriage. Now look. That is the cause of the message. And I will be getting into the tapes, and I will be getting into the tape, marriage and divorce. But our Lord specifies here fornication only. And according to this verse, my friend, if you put away your wife, except the cause of fornication, that's an act committed before marriage, if you put her away, what you really do, you causeth her to commit adultery, and if a man marries that woman, commits adultery too. I might make a statement here, and I hope that you will follow the study through, because I'm going to give quotes and so on. That although your wife becomes a prostitute after you marry her, if she was a virgin when you marry her, and later on she become a prostitute, there is no way for you to put her away and marry another woman. Now remember, I didn't say to put away only. I said to put away and marry another woman, and we're going to see why. Now, these cults of the message that they are pushing now to polygamy and Babylon and back to old Hillel doctrine, they are telling us that fornication and adultery are the same thing. My friend, I'd like to ask you one thing. Do you realize that you make the Word of God repetitious? Yes, you do. In Matthew 15:19, the Bible says, adulterers, fornicators, and so on. He didn't use the same word. He used two words for two different meanings. God's word is not a repetitious word. Or you think that if that's what the argument would have been, probably God forgot to put in his Bible next to fornicators, adulterers, on Matthew 5:32. It would have read something like that. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving the cause of fornication or adultery, but he didn't, because he means what he says. I cannot add to these scriptures. I cannot take away. If you want to do it, you go ahead and do it. But someday in the day of judgment, I have to answer for myself, and you have to answer for yourself. No pastor, no man is going to stand and defend you, because Christ gave you the right to go to him directly with no mediator. And if you want to have a mediator, he doesn't have a mediator, but Christ Jesus. Do you think of the Word of God that was repetitious in Matthew 15:19, or in Mark 7:21? Or in Galatians 5:19, or in Ephesians 5:3, Colossians 3:5, 1 Corinthians 6:9, Hebrews 13:4. They look perfection in the scriptures. When you go to Revelation 17, that you read about the great harlot, the great whore, the mother of harlots, do you know that word there, harlot, instead of being an immoral woman that can be married or unmarried. See, a harlot can be married or an unmarried woman, still a harlot. Are you aware that in Revelation 17, that word, the same word, fornication, was a great fornicator, her daughters were fornicators, is the same word that's in Matthew 5:32. If you go to Revelation 17, the first verse, the fifth verse, 15 and 16 is the word fornicators. Why? Because the wedding supper hasn't taken place yet. See, commit fornication prior to the wedding supper. And you want to tell me now that the Word of God is repetitious through all the scriptures. Now, some preacher says that, pick up a quote, and I know the quote. I'm going to bring it up and discuss it. They say, well, fornication is uncleanness. Just hold a minute, my friend. In Galatians 5:19, the Bible says, adultery, comma, fornication, comma, uncleanness, comma. It didn't say it's the same. Then the Word of God is repetitious. In Ephesians 5:3, he says, but fornication and all uncleanness. What about that? What about Colossians 3:5? Fornication, comma, uncleanness. The Word of God definitely makes a distinction, definite distinction between fornication and uncleanness. Uncleanness is anything that's dirty. You say, Brother David, is stealing uncleanness? Yes. Anything that's filthy and perverts the Word of God, pollutes the Word of God, is not clean. Stealing is uncleanness. Lying is uncleanness. Killing is uncleanness. Fornication is uncleanness. Adultery is uncleanness. All these things are clean. But when you talk about uncleanness, here he specifies, he excludes adultery, fornication, uncleanness. With other words, he specified the scene. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. I'm reading Galatians 5:19. Why? Because the gospel, God, wants to identify and tell you that there's adultery, there's fornication, and there's uncleanness, and although the whole thing is unclean, it's still I'm isolating and telling you that there are sins that they are committed that I want to specify them. One is adultery that's committed by a married person, and the other one is fornication by an unmarried person. Now you say, Brother David, now you exclude every married man from that verse. The gospel did exclude it. You say, but wait a minute, just a minute. You might say, what about if I go to the court and show you that the prophetess can apply either way? I'll go to that court, but let me just for a minute refer to something. I like for a minute, if I can, to refer to a reference or a quote, if you want to call it, of the Questions and Answers, Volume 8, which was preached in Jeffersonville, Indiana, 10-15-61. The tape number is 1661, and the paragraph on the Spoken Word book is 168 through 174. Listen to this very, very careful.
Brother Branham, I was married to a woman that had been married before. We divorced, and she has been married twice since. The Bible states that if we desire to marry, to turn to first wife, now could I turn to her who has been married before, or could I be free? Well, now my brother, here's the only way that you could do it. Now, this is a great subject, and someday I want to, if the church ever gets organized and straightened up into the place where it should be, or I'll say this with reverence. There's two factions of this marriage and divorce. The churches, one holds one faction, one the other, and to my opinion, with grace in my heart before God and His Bible, they're both wrong. See? But there's a truth laid there. If you notice what Jesus said, now hear, I got a brother, my own blood brother, that's fixing to marry a woman, and my brother has been married before and got a child by a good woman, and he come to me to marry him. I said, not at all. Jesus said in Matthew 5, whosoever puts away his wife and marries another, saving the cause of fornications, which she had to do before she was married and didn't tell him about it, causes her to commit adultery. Whosoever marries her that is put away liveth in adultery. So don't do that. No, you cannot go back to your first wife if she's been married again. But if she divorced you and put you away, then you said, am I free? Let me read again. I was married to a woman that had never been married before. We divorced, and she has been married twice. I suppose this person has remained single. The Bible states that if we desire to marry, to turn to first again. No, sir. Get over the Levitical laws. You go back to that woman, she's somebody else's property. You've defiled and made yourself worse off than ever. No. You should not take a wife back who's been married to somebody else. Now, could I turn to her who has been married before, or should I be free? You are free. Stay free. Yeah, you don't go back again. No, sir, she's married to somebody else. Stay away from her. That's right. No, that defiled, you understand. We had a little more time. I'll get into that. But just for your question, my brother, whoever you are, no, sir, don't you go back and take that woman when she's been married two or three times since she married you. That's wrong. I married a couple here not long ago that had been married before, and they divorced and went away to old couple. Well, that's your brother and sister Puckett. That's exactly who it was. They just couldn't get along. You had a little spat between them. They divorced. She lived just as true and single as she could be, and he lived the same way. And after a while, they seen how silly it was, and he come back and wanted to be married. I said, sure. See? That's all right. That's what you should be. So they wanted to be married all the time. They never had been divorced. Just giving papers to live together as husband and wife. That's all. Because they were married in the beginning.
Now you might ask, why did I bring this quote up? There are some people that they don't claim to be deity, but really they're deity. You recognize them when they go to meetings or conventions, and the preacher stands up and starts preaching and refers to a quote, and they say, Brother Branham said so. Everybody screams and says amen. But when they say Jesus said so, nobody says anything about it. The glory of Jesus has been taken away in their meetings. Jesus is standing outside of the door, knocking the door of the people in the message trying to get in. That's true. Now, my friend, I'm just coming to the point, to your level. And in your level, you say, I believe every word of the prophet said and so on. And you cannot disregard that in this quote, listen to this, he says, Jesus said in Matthew 5, that's what I was referring to, Matthew 5, where Jesus said, whosoever puts away his wife and marries another, saving the cause of fornication, which she had to do before she was married and didn't tell him about it. Now you have to agree of one thing, that you are caged in. I'm using the same reference, the same quote here, that gives me the right on the basis of the message to tell you that not only the definitions that I have given you from dictionaries and authorities and the word as it was used at the time of the Bible, the people were talking, but I'm using the message. And here, Brother Branham refers to Matthew 5, and he says verbatim, which she had to do before she was married and didn't tell him about it. Let me read now on your standard, Matthew 5:32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving the cause of, instead of reading fornication, I will read you this, that she has committed an act which she had to do before she was married and didn't tell him about it. Now you're in trouble, you know that. Why? Because that shows you in that verse, and it will continue in the rest of the scriptures, don't worry, although your wife becomes a prostitute after she was married to you, you have no business to put her away and marry another one. And if you put her away for any other cause, you causeth her to commit adultery. Remember, I put the two things together. Not just put away, but I'm talking about remarrying. Why? In this verse, we'll be getting much more clear in this, word by word. In this verse here, it tells us this, that, but I say unto you, Jesus said, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving the cause of fornication, which she had to do what? Which he had to do before she was married and didn't tell him about it. I'm just using verbatim the quote. Causing her to commit adultery. So you are liable to that woman. But I know my wife ran around and she did this and this. Lord, let me tell you something. For you to put her away, it's one thing. For her to run out, it's another thing. And we'll solve that problem pretty soon. But he says, and whosoever shall marry her that's divorced. Now, that word divorce, which is in the last part of the 32nd verse, is the one that has been listened. The one that we use the same word on the 32nd verse here is the Greek word that says, for example, apolimenin, the one that has been married before. And it tells you here, if you or anybody else shall marry her that has been put away, commits adultery. And I don't care who she is. And the only refuge, my friend, if you have been deceived, is to go to your knees and claim the blood of Jesus Christ to save you and forgive you. Stand against it, because the Word of God stands against it, and come out of Babylon, of the people that cater to that. That's pretty straight, but that's the way it is. Something else that I'd like for you to notice in this quote. He continues on and he says exactly what we said, and he refers to the Levitical law. You remember that? The same quote. He says, you cannot go back and marry, go back to the first wife. Why? Because he has been polluted. And the question is now, could I turn to her? I'm reading paragraph 173. Could I turn to her who has been married before, or should I be free? Look, the answer. You are free. Stay free. He doesn't tell you to go and get married again. He tells you are free, stay free. With other words, the state that you are now, and he mentioned before that the man was single. He was assuming. He says, if you are free, stay in the state that you are free. Repeats, from free to free, stay as you are. Now, if you want me to verify what he means, you are free, stay free, he's referring that the man has not been married. Because in paragraph 171, when he starts answering, he says, I suppose this person has remained single. It tells you here that although your wife has been married to another man, is divorced, or the husband, the second husband that she had is dead, you cannot go back to her and get married. Why? In paragraph 172 says, no, sir. Get over the Levitical laws. That's what we have done. See, I'm putting the message in the scriptures, and you didn't realize what I was doing until I get a quote, and you see it correlates with what we discuss. He says, you go back to that woman, see somebody else's property. You're defiled, and you make yourself worse than ever. You cannot go back, and you have to stay single. Because in that case, the woman has been defiled. So now, it's very clear that you cannot return to the first wife. Stay single. You are free. Stay free. And when you are not married, you are tied together and you are not free. And Brother Branham says, you are free. Stay free. Now, I like to refer you to another reference, another tape, another quote, and there's a reason for that. And after I play this quote, I'll get to some things that probably the controversial issues will start coming up. And that is final questions and answers number 7. Which was preached in Jeffersonville, Indiana, 62859, the tape number 4659, paragraph 185 to 189.
Matt, let's see, Brother Bill, what is the difference between fornications and adultery? Matthew 19:9. Jesus said in Matthew 19:9, whosoever putteth away his wife and marries another, except it be for the cause of fornications, commits adultery. The difference between fornications and adultery, the word could be applied either way. But to make it clear what he was talking of there, that a woman that's unmarried cannot commit adultery because she has no husband to commit adultery against. It's uncleanness for her. She has to confess that to her husband before they are married if she did that. If not, and her husband finds it out later, he has a right to put her away because she took a false vow. For the Bible said, Rachel says, be it well known to you, I have it in mind, if any couples are joined otherwise, and God's word does allow, their marriage is not lawful. I will require and will charge you both that you'll surely answer the day of judgment when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed. If either of you know any impediment why you should not be lawful joined together, do you now confess it? There you are. See, so fornication is what a girl, when she lives unclean, that's fornication because she has no husband. But when she's married, and then when she lives like that, she commits adultery against her husband. A woman come not long ago, and she said, oh, I've confessed all that. She was nervous and had a breakdown and said, I confessed all that to God. I said, you have to confess it to your husband. It wasn't God that you committed adultery against. It was your husband. That's right. And if a man marries a woman and she has lived unclean before she marries him, and then she comes to him if they've been married ever so long, and then she comes to him and says, honey, I want to tell you something. I did run out with another man I never told you. Jesus said he has a right to put her away and marry another because they're not married in the beginning. Because she falsely told you a lie against him. Now, there's another thing here. Thank you.
You may ask why I brought that quote up. There's a few reasons. The first reason is that he's referring to Matthew 19:9, for which I'm going to get next. And on Matthew 19:9, the question was the difference between fornication and adultery. And on paragraph 185, he says, the difference between fornication and adultery, the word could be applied either way. It doesn't say it is applied. So you go ahead and apply any way you want to about Israel, the bride of God, the Gentile bride. Go ahead with your way. I will be getting into it in a separate study. But what I like to point you back into is, he continues, but to make it clear what he was talking of there, that's Matthew 19:9, he says, a woman that is unmarried cannot commit adultery. Listen to that. A woman that's unmarried cannot commit adultery because she has no husband to commit adultery against. He defines fornication in Matthew 19:9 as an act committed by somebody that is not married. He continues in paragraph 186. So fornication is what a girl, when she lives unclean, that's fornication, because she has no husband. I can go through, but my time is running out, seems to me, like try to define words. But I like to make one thing very, very definite here, that even if you are from the deity group that I mentioned, praise the Lord for a quarter, never praise the Lord for Jesus, you have to admit that here is a reference that explains very specifically Matthew 19:9 as fornication, which is committed by a single person and not a married one. Let's now look one more thing before we go to Matthew 19. Turn with me your Bible to the book of Romans, the 7th chapter. Romans, the 7th chapter. And looking at the 2nd verse, it says, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law of her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. The 3rd verse. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called adulteress. What's an adulteress? A woman that her husband liveth and married to another man. What's adultery? Here, in the case of a woman, if she marries to another man, she's an adulteress. And he continues, but if her husband be dead, she is free from the law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Death separates that woman from being an adulteress. And he says, so a woman is not adulteress if her husband is dead and she's married to another man. A woman that her husband is dead, she is not an adulteress if she's married to another man. But remember, the death is what does it and sets that woman free. I'd like to mention something now, and I'm kind of anxious to get to Matthew 19. But if it wasn't for the Word of God, it would have been one of the jokes of the year or the century. And that is, not too long ago, I was talking to some people, and a verse came up, which is found in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and the 6th verse. And the case was a minister that had a second living wife, and they were applying this, why the man got married the second wife. And they pulled that verse out, the 6th verse, that says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And a man said that, he says, my wife committed adultery with another man. She ran around. And once she lives in pleasure, she's like being dead. And so I have the right to get married again. If you look at the scripture, Paul is speaking about the widows. And on the 5th verse and the 6th verse, he sorts the widows, that's true widows, from the word here, which means widow by death. That word widow there that Paul uses on the 5th chapter of 1 Timothy is the word here, which means by death. No divorcee or anything like that. And on the 5th verse, Paul says, now she that is a widow, indeed, because in the previous 3rd verse, honor widows that are widows indeed. In other words, the word here means that by death. And now he says, on the 5th verse, now she that's a widow indeed, and desolate and trusted God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. He speaks about a good widow that continues in prayer and supplication, trusteth in God. And then he takes the other widows now. And he says, but she that liveth in pleasure, she is dead while she liveth. He groups the widows in two groups, gives instructions to the first one that's a widow indeed and trusteth God and continues supplications and prayers, and he talks about the other widow that she lives in pleasure. Now, I don't know how a man can stoop that low and use instructions that were given to a bad widow that she doesn't even have a husband, so he can justify that he's going to go ahead and get married with another woman. He was married with another woman. I just don't know. But that shows you how low Babylon has been. How long the Hillels of this message, that married men, over and over, they are looking, they are scratching every verse you can imagine. And I like to say that any man that will pick up instructions to a widow that doesn't even have a husband, her husband is dead, and try to claim rights when the rights was given only to her without a husband, try to pick it up so he can marry another woman, I'm totally separated from Babylon. I believe they are hypocrites. I believe it's Babylon. I believe their works show and they can't hold the thing together anymore. So when I was reading a few minutes ago the Romans 7 part, I started thinking about that verse. And you can see the conditions, or the condition of the people of this message today. Let's go now to the Gospel of Matthew, the 19th chapter. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, starting from the third verse, we read this, that the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, or in the original text is bothering him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? Now, the first thing that you associate in your mind is the study that we just finished, that Mr. Hillel had the doctrine, head of the Sanhedrin, the lovey boy, just have love and don't say anything bad about anybody, and you can go ahead and put your wife away for any cause. So the Hillel descendants, the Pharisees, because in the history, the Jewish history of the manuscripts there, we have seen that the Pharisees were associated always with Mr. Hillel. They had nothing to do with Shammai. Shammai was too straight for them. And the Pharisees started approaching our Lord and said to him, can a man put away his wife for any cause? And our Lord very politely answered unto them, saying, have ye not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? You remember that in our study, how it was in the beginning. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain, or two, shall be one flesh. Thing we have covered this study, how the two, not the three, not the four, just two, one man and one woman, no polygamy in the beginning, nothing at all, but the two shall be one flesh. And our Lord continues, and he said, wherefore there are no more twain, no more two, but one flesh. So you have one man and one woman, and these are one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. God joins together only two. Just two. If you have a living husband and you marry with somebody else, that's three. That's not in the Bible. That's in Babylon. That's Hillel doctrine. That's Satan. And when God joins something together, according to the sixth verse, there are only two and not three or four or more. The seventh verse, they say unto him, why did Moses then command it to give the writing of divorcement and put her away? Very clearly, we went to the two words. I hope you remember when we were reading on Matthew 5 and we start discussing the putting away of the wife, and we discuss there the difference of the 31st verse, apoleo, ke apostasin, who means the divorce. I gave you some citation in the literature there of Odyssey and so on. But here the Pharisees refer back to Moses. And they ask him, how come then Moses okayed? With other words, Moses, yours, your prophet. Moses was a true prophet. And a prophet has the word of the Lord. How come then, when you take us back to the beginning and you tell us there are only two, and what God have joined together, God have joined together only the two, let no man put asunder, no man can break these two, how come then your servant Moses commanded us to give us, to give the writing of divorcement and put her away? That was a good question. Because our Lord expressed it in Matthew 5, when he said, it has been said, but I say unto you, I disagree with Moses. And the Pharisees now, bothering our Lord, the English version says tempting, or the third verse, Matthew 19:3, but the original says bothering our Lord. He says, how come then that you're supposed to have a true prophet, and that true prophet, all of a sudden now, he permits us to have a bill of divorcement. He doesn't say, look, the Pharisees, they were very precise. The Pharisees were not dummies. The Pharisees were shrewd, kind, loving, we love you, and this kind of a thing. And look how they ask for the two words, the writing of divorcement and the put away. They didn't ask him about the put away only. They didn't ask him Matthew 5:32, but they repeated Matthew 5:31, the two activities, the writing of divorcement and the put away. On the 8th verse, and he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffer you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Here is one of the most astonishing scriptures on marriage and divorce. Our Lord turned to the Pharisees, and he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. That's something to think about here. These people, they couldn't have been 100 years old. Moses was hundreds of years before them. And the Lord didn't say that because of the hardness of their hearts. But he said, because of the hardness of your hearts. Who were they? The Pharisees. Look at the 3rd verse. The Pharisees of the time of Moses. And Jesus said on the 8th verse, and he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffer you to put away your wives, not their wives. Look here. He brings it to the present tense, speaking to the Pharisees. But from the beginning it was not so. He restores back to the beginning. Look at the strange part here. Our Lord directs the answer to them why Moses gave them the writing of divorcement and to put her away. He says, your hearts suffer you to put away your wives, not their wives or their hearts. Why? The Pharisees of the time of Jesus, the Pharisees of the time of Moses, and the Pharisees of today are the same bunch, the same group of people. And when we are referring to the divorcement of the time of Moses, I believe that Moses gave the bill of divorcement to the Pharisees of that day. And I believe the ministers of the so-called message today that they say, okay for the divorcement, except the cause of fornication, any other reason, it's all right. Back to Hillel. They are the Pharisees of this message. And our Lord, on the 8th verse, he gave two main reasons for what? Why Moses gave the bill of divorcement and the put away, the two things. The first thing is the condition of the heart, that the heart was hard. The word skleron, who means you can't change it. And our Lord, on the basis of the hardness of the heart, you have to follow the pattern in the life of the people of Israel. Because the hardness of the heart of the people of Israel causeth God to give the divorcement, and not because God wanted to give the divorcement. You say, Brother David, what do you mean with that? Now, on Psalms, the book of Psalms, the 106th chapter, God started giving a description of the people of Israel through David. And on the 10th verse, he says, he saved them from the hand of him that hated them. Then he says on the 11th verse, and the waters covered their enemies. There was no one of them left. All the enemies were destroyed. The 12th verse, we find out who the people of Israel was at the time. Then believed they his words and sang his praises. They believed the word of God. They were in the message of that hour. They believed the word. The Bible said so. They believed his words, and they sang his praises. They had a great revival time. They soon forgot their works. They waited not in the council, but lusted exceedingly. I'm reading the 13th and the 14th verse. And tempted God in the wilderness. Now here you go to the hardness of the heart and the tempting of God. Now God has a reward of that. Look what he gives them. On the 15th verse, and he gave them their request, but sent them leanness in their soul. That word leanness, if you go to the Septuagint, is the word thanatophoros nosos. That word thanatophoros nosos means that he gave him a deadly disease that they cannot escape. It's like somebody has cancer. With other words, he says, now, look at the 15th verse, and he gave them their request. What was their request? The desire of their hearts. Go ahead and have it. What did Moses do to the people of Israel? The hardness of their heart. Go ahead and have it. Did he tell them that their heart was hard? No. Moses never said to the people of Israel, I'm granting the bill of divorcement because of the hardness of your heart. Why? It won't do any good to them. Because their heart was hard. But also, he says, he sent them leanness in their soul and that deadly disease, and they never make the other side. They were all destroyed and perished in the wilderness. And we have two men that crossed the line, and they were able to say, we are more than conquerors who can take it, and so on. Find out the two men, when they crossed and they brought back the evidence, the rest of them just died. Why? Their heart became hard. The justice of God. Remember, the righteousness of God has to meet the justice of God. Righteousness has not always been goody, goody, goody. Righteousness has to have a justice. And God, to be righteous, and in order to be just, he had to pronounce, okay, go ahead and have what you want in your heart. But the end result is going to be death, because you are now in a disease that will carry unto death. And here our Lord says, Moses gave you that. Why? Because of the hardness of your heart. Now the next word, the next reason that our Lord gives, suffer you to put your, away your wives, that word suffer means that I gave the divorcement on the basis of their judgment. With other words, now Moses is issuing the divorcement. He says, if that's what you want, go ahead and have it. It's up to you. That word there, epitrepo, who means instead of suffering, something suffering, epitrepo, I give the permission on the basis of your judgment. And once in a person's heart is hard, from that word epitrepo, and they make a judgment, the judgment will correlate with a decision of the heart. So when these Pharisees came over and asked our Lord, he says, Moses, with other words, you got a prophet. And that his name was Moses. And the Lord didn't deny that. He says, that was the man that gave the divorcement and to put her away, the two activities. No doubt about it. Then the Lord, when he turned to them, to these Pharisees, you remember the third verse, where the Pharisees came unto him. And on the 8th verse, he says, unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, what? Not their hearts, your hearts. And he continues on, he says, suffer to put away your wives. Who were they? Like I have said previously, the Pharisees of Moses' day, their hardness of the heart, they wanted a divorcement. They want to be Jews, they want to go to the synagogue, and a Pharisee is a practitioner of religion, external only, while inside he's a barrel of snakes. That's what it is. A Pharisee is a practitioner only externally, and inside he has nothing to offer. So now our Lord tells them, he says, look, you Pharisees. At the time of Moses, there was a bunch of Pharisees like you are. Their heart was hard, and they got what they deserved. He left it on the basis of their heart, and one of the translations that I have, the Greek versions, he says, Moses gave you the bill of divorcement and forgave you, but from the beginning it was not so. Go ahead, you're forgiven. Go ahead and do it. Is that what your heart doing? Go ahead and do it. Forgiven from what? And now, our Lord, in the ninth verse, he starts, but I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except the cause of fornication. Remember, hear our Lord. Look, perfection, my friend, in the Word of God. The Word of God didn't say again in Matthew 9, whosoever shall put away his wife, write her a bill of divorcement, and so on. Nothing. He ignores divorcement completely. That was Moses to the Pharisees of that day, and the same thing we have today, the Pharisees of our day. In this message, don't look at the denominations. Look at the Pharisees that practice polygamy in our midst, my friend. That's what you're supposed to be looking. And Jesus says, and he said, but I say unto you, ninth verse, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, does this agree with Matthew 5:32 perfectly? He didn't say except adultery, fornication again. And I give you a quote, and I identify the brother Abraham specifically. In Matthew 19:9, he says by unmarried person. So you don't say apply in both ways. He said apply to single only. And you dirty bunch, you don't have one line of evidence that you can bring me that says 99 was applied to the married one. But I gave you a quote and I referred to it and I show you that he applied Matthew 19:9 to the single ones. That word fornication is applicable to the single only. He said so in the quote that I just gave you in this tape. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away, except the cause, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. No matter who you are, no matter how much you knew the prophet, no matter how much you stood and you know every word of this message, if you have married another woman and the first wife has not been put away for the cause of fornication, my friend, the scripture says you're an adulterer, and fornicators and adulterers have no part of the kingdom of God. And if you haven't repented for that and stand for the word of God as it says, you are going to hell. That's it. Repent. You have to answer in the day of judgment. That verse, oh, the table of marriage and divorce, I will get into the marriage and divorce and compare it, and you will see perfection there. The prophet didn't say something 1957, contradict 1965, the marriage and divorce message. A bunch of rickies and hybrids have done it. Why? To make children twice children to hell like they are, running around with... Sure, they have to do that because they have to have audience like their own. And here, our Lord says, except the cause of fornication. I'd like to go back to the ninth verse for a few minutes. Are you Mr. Whosoever? That applies to everybody from the Greek word pasostis. Excludes nobody. The lowest to the highest. The richest to the poorest. The most uneducated to the most educated. There's no blood relation that I'm a cousin or a nephew or whatever to the prophet. No by association to the prophet. People say today, oh, he must know more about the message because, oh, the prophet taught him. What about Judas? That's not evidence. That's deception. You have to look at the Word of God. And whosoever applies to you, me, and everybody else shall put away his wife except the cause, except it be for fornication. Whosoever shall put his wife away except that she had sexual relations with a man prior to marriage, and he found out after he was married. Not he knew before and married with a woman, not after he forgave her or something, but he knew nothing about it. Except for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that's put away, doth commit adultery. Though your wife can become a straight harlot prostitute. If you come to me with a videotape, and you say, Brother David, I have the evidence that my wife was in a relation with another man, and I have the tape of the whole activity. I'll show you it in a video screen, and you can see the complete activity. And so I'm going to put her away. That's up to you there. And I'm going to marry another one. I said, if you want to put her away, it's up to you. I'll get into it. You have the right of dishonoring. But to marry another one, I will be sending you to hell, and that's why I'm not doing it. Because I will be making you an adulterer according to the Word of God. Now, you'll find preachers in this message that they love you, and they love your money. They love the popularity. They like to be seen. They like to have people to praise around them. But in that great day of judgment, you cannot have an excuse that my pastor said so. Because there's no scripture that tells you a pastor is the mediator. You have the right to go to the Word of God. Go to your closet, kneel down, and say, God, help me. Where do I go next? And if, like I said before, if you find yourself in that kind of a state, pray. And if the conviction of the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, kneel down, and remember the Word says He's just to forgive all our sins. And don't just say the Lord forgave me. Stand against it as a testimony. Because if you witness Him here, He will witness you. And if, my friend, young lady, you have been married to a man, that his wife has been put away, or the divorce was because he ran around, because he was a prostitute, and you marry that man, you're an adulteress and you go to hell too. I'm not judging you. I'm reading the Word of God, because the Word of God says fornicators and adulteress have no part of the kingdom of God. Repent. If your preacher tells you that's the same, fornication and adultery, your preacher doesn't know what side is up and down. And I don't say that for an insult. I believe your preacher might be a fine man. So was Mr. Hillel. But the Word of God says fornication. I went to the extreme places to show you and identify and give you a code that the prophet identifies Matthew 19:9. Committed by a single person, period. Repent and come out from Babylon. You came out from one, you fall into the other. No wondering we are perishing. That's a hard thing to say. And I want to say here, I'm not the judge to any of these men or women. I'm here to preach the same gospel like I would have preached to somebody if you murdered somebody, to ask repentance from God, and God forgives him and go on. The same way that I cannot marry you, if you come to me and you give me a billion excuses, and you tear your wife down that she's the worst woman in the world, I'd like to ask you one question. Is it before marriage or after marriage? That you knew it or not, if it's after marriage, my friend, if I marry you, it's like I'll be sending you to hell, and I cannot do it. Repent. Get close to God. That's flat. Oh, the tape of marriage and divorce says that a man can, a woman cannot. We'll see what the tape said. But look beautiful, how beautiful the scripture says. In Matthew 5:31, the Pharisee says, it has been said that if a man put away his wife, let him write a bill of divorcement. Two things, put away, bill of divorcement. You come to the Pharisees of Matthew 19, the 7th verse. He says, Moses there commanded them to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away when they ask. Why did Moses then command her to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? They knew exactly the word of God. They didn't give only one case, both cases. The writing of divorcement, or the divorcement and the put away. And when our Lord really turned around and told them what they are, a bunch of Pharisees, and the same thing happened with Moses, the same thing today. And then he continues and he says, but I say unto you, whosoever shall put a wife except the cause of fornication. Look, perfection between Matthew 19:9, fornication, and Matthew 5:32. But he adds here, he says, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. You are an adulterer if you haven't repented before God and you have married another woman. And if you go to a church like that, it's up to you. But if that kind of a ceremony was performed, I'll walk out. Why? There's no way to claim that you're in the bride of Christ and wait for the rapture of the bride without believing in the restoration of the beginning. Because you have to deny the virgin birth when Christ tried to restore back as it was in the beginning. And after our Lord, we went to Matthew 19:5-6 and discusses the beginning. 4, 5, and 6. And he tried to tell them that the restoration back into two, they'll become one, not the three and the four. And then they start bringing it back on the 7th verse, the same mess. Then Jesus said unto them, now, if there is a third party involved, with other words, not only you're an adulterer, you just have no part of me, no part of the kingdom of God, and you're going to hell. This is not to judge you. I have rather tell you the truth right now and see you repenting and coming back to God and come out of Babylon. Come out from the descendants of the Hillel, the Babylonian doctrine, and repent before God. Look how they practice today. A man can and a woman cannot. I'll get you the message. I'll give the quotes. We'll go back to Matthew 19, Matthew 5, and you will see perfection. No doubt you're going to see perfection. But my preacher said so-and-so. Let me ask you something. Has the message said to you that no matter what's your revelation, you have to bring it back to the Word? Have you done it? Did you say that your pastor will bring it back to the Word for you, or you have to do it? Don't look at them. They're just business people. You're a merchandise to them. You pay your tithing, and sooner or later they won't have enough money, and they'll go to business for something else to make more money anyway. So don't worry about that. Look yourself. He's not going to stand. I'm not going to stand in the day of judgment and say, now, you did this because of me. I'll be liable for what I said. But you are responsible. because God said that you can go directly to Him and He will reward you. I hope that you can see what I'm saying. I hope that you can see that I'm not here. I like to have women at the well, like I have mentioned in our church. People that they can go and see no more. Instead of the house of God being used as a house of prostitution, like some of the preachers are using it in this message, when they remarry men for the second or the third time, and it is nothing but a paganistic, adulterous, filthiness ceremony right in the front of the altar. Shame on you. I better get out of that and continuing the study now. Setting now some procedures for the continuation of our study. In our next tape, the Lord's willing, we'll be getting to the Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter, from the 2nd to the 12th verse. Then we'll be going to Luke, the 16th chapter. From there, we'll continue in the epistles. But when we finish the Gospels, then we'll be going to the Sermon of Marriage and Divorce again, and we will be getting onto page 36 at the bottom of the page where Brother Branham started discussing about Matthew 5:32, and then we'll see where we stand about a woman can, a man can, and a woman cannot. And when we study these portions, then we'll be getting to the last part of the revelation, what he said, and we're going to discuss it a little fairly. There are certain things that we haven't discussed yet that will be going through the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law, and the New Testament. And some of the things is, what is a vow? What is engagement? How engagement takes place? Can engagement be broken? What makes a person to be married? The difference between sex relation and a vow. And remember, I realize that if a man rapes a virgin, he should marry her until death. All these things will be discussed. I hope you have been enjoying the study. And sometimes during the study, when we get a little hard and rough, it's not to judge anybody. Not at all. We are all sinners through Adam. There was no one that's good. Right from the beginning of the creation, every person that came from Adam is under sin. No matter if it was you, me, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Brother Branham, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And through the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ, we claim the purification of all ourselves so that we can see Jesus by faith in the redemptive power of His mercy. I have enjoyed these studies, and you have seen through the tapes that I have avoided to make it a scholarly work. I define words with the exception of the two words that I brought up, the difference between put away and divorcement. I haven't referred to any literature. If this is necessary, I have the materials to do it. If it's necessary to go back and work in one specific area, a narrow area, very, very detailed, and if the Lord wants me to do that, I'll be glad to do that. But this kind of a study, it's not a study that you can just laugh and sit around. It's a serious business. And I hope, like a minister asked me if he can play these tapes in his church. I have no restrictions for these tapes to be played on any place. But the only thing that I would like for the people to know, my heart goes out to the ones that have been married 2-3 times, and here the scriptures are cutting through. I'd like to ask you a question. Is it better for a man to tell you the truth now and point you to the scriptures, or let you go on and meet God? found guilty on the other side. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sins. I believe there's a point that says, sin no more. Go and sin no more. And that's what I'm trying to achieve. May the Lord bless you and keep you.